few minutes and in keeping with the scripture that we were looking for in the last couple of weeks in 1 Corinthians and in Colossians and all those. There's a lesson that Elder Thompson sent out, and if you don't have it, let me know, because that one sounds very good. Today. It's coming to the Easter time frame. This Sunday, I think, is Palm Sunday. Is that true?
Next Sunday. Next Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. It says, who do men say that I am? It's a good lesson for that time. This Sunday, if you're able to be in promise, if you're able to come up on promise, I promised last week that this Sunday we would be talking about the rapture, because that's what we were. And I want to do Christian education in that regard this week. I want to look at a lesson tonight for a few minutes. I won't be long. And it's in conjunction with Hebrews, the first chapter. I'm going to look at John chapter, I think it's chapter 6. And John chapter 6. And the 6th chapter of John is the lesson that everybody's aware of, most people are aware of. It's the lesson of when Jesus feeds all of them with the fishes and the loaves. And I want to look in John chapter 6 tonight. And in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he makes this point. And I want to read that, so if you don't mind turning your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it is a big statement, because in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he talks both of the rapture that will change from 51, 52, that we're changed from mortal to immortal. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. And behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Earlier in the 15th chapter, he talks about something that's an absolute, and he talks about the resurrection. And I want everyone to know when I preach, because Paul tells us in Romans, when he does this, he says the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He makes it apparent that the power of God comes forth in the gospel. I don't want anybody to ever forget that. That the power of God comes forth when the gospel is preached. The gospel, or it's not just, and when he says the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, I want us to understand that it is when he says this, it's because of the gospel that the power of God comes. And the gospel is Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. But it's not just as succinct as saying the birth, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's getting the revelation of what his death, his powerful death, what his burial, and what his resurrection does. And the other portion that becomes so great to us is that knowing of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection does not move you. It is allowing the power of God to come and give you the revelation or the life that comes in his death, burial, and resurrection. In other words, when I hear of Christ's death and of his burial and of his resurrection, it is me allowing God to impute or given to me the result of his powerful death and the result of his burial and of his resurrection. It's him allowing it to become mine. It is one thing to walk by the showroom and see a car that you really like. It's another thing for the dealer to give it to you. Yeah. And then it becomes yours. It's one thing to know about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It's another thing for God to be able to give it to you so that his death becomes your death. In other words, the life-changing move of God. And this is where so many people miss the point. It's the life that you're not getting. It's not that you don't have the knowledge. You must ask God for the life. When you hear about what Christ has done on Calvary and of his powerful death, of his powerful burial, which means a separation. What's the significance of his burial? It's the separation from one life to the next.
Yes.
And his powerful resurrection. You must ask God. You say, well, I don't feel anything when I hear that. You must ask God. Lord, give me that. Make me part of that. Let that be my life. Give it to me. Let me no longer be the old person that I was, that I become a new person. And you have to be willing to trust God that the new you is much better than the old you. And that what God gives is so much greater than what you had. And this is where we run into a problem, too, is because people like to hold on to what they have.
Yes.
You must recognize the sovereign perfection and supremeness, if that's a word, supremacy of God. And then that God is right in everything he does, so that what God has to give, you want. Because you never have anything already greater than what God gives. So when Paul talks about the preaching of the gospel, and he says we could be, and I know saints of God, why he says in Romans, talks about the preaching of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation and among us, because people preach so much stuff. Do now and always have. There's so many reasons why people want God short of eternal life. We even those among us who are regular churchgoers and people who grew up in church, we learn to want God for all kinds of reasons. And, oh yeah, it's also heaven. That's our attitude. We want God for everything else. And, oh yeah, by the way, yeah, it's also heaven. We even make the point, don't we? People say about it. Oh, you need the Lord because you need heaven. Yeah, I know I need heaven, but I need God. There's so much more, you know, while I'm waiting. And I need so much more than heaven. You don't need anything more than heaven. Mm-hmm. Don't you get it?
Yep.
Heaven answers for everything.
Yes.
And if you're going to get anything from God, that's where it comes from.
Yes.
Haven't we figured this out yet? When you pray to heaven. God hears you because that's where he is.
Right.
And when he answers your prayer and gives you, supplies what you need, every need that comes from God comes down from above.
Yes.
Comes from God. There is a literal, you know, this is the other problem that people have and why they don't trust God. You haven't believed yet that God is a literal divine person.
Yes.
God in nature that has all power. God in person, God in presence that has all power. And because the presence of God is everywhere, the person of God who has a body, since I'm in his image, if I'm in his image and I have a body, then he obviously has one. Stop letting people tell you that God is incorporeal, that he's just a spirit being and he's all everything and he's in this and he's in that. God is not in the mountains. God created the mountains. He made them.
Yes.
When I look at the mountains, I see the majesty of God, but I'm not looking at God. I'm looking at what God created. You know, don't bow, you know, well, God is in the trees, he's in the clouds. No, that's what he made. I see his majesty and the greatness of his power because I can't make a tree, as Kilmer said.
Yes.
But a tree will never be God.
God, right, yes.
It is God's creation. It's the wonder of him. And God himself, to the people who have this spirit being type deal, like you just can't wrap your hands around God having a body and God being a person. You need to read your Bible, because if God doesn't have a body, then there's nothing for Abraham to sit down and eat with.
That's right.
There's no person who comes into his tent.
Right.
And you watch too many movies and listen to too many people who don't have the faith enough to put their finger on. You just don't want to put your finger on God being a person that you can touch.
Right.
And a person that, you know, He says the things that are invisible or things that we don't see are clearly seen by the things that are visible. And then we turn around and say that we are made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about Jesus, who being the brightness of his
glory.
Yes. And being the express image of his
person.
And Jesus who walks with us and we're with him. And yet you want to turn around and say, but God doesn't really have a body. He's just a spirit being.
Yeah.
Then what is going to be resurrected about you?
Yeah.
Since your spirit is already immortal, and so is your soul.
Oh, yes.
What dies in me? Not my spirit and my soul. It's my body that dies.
Yes.
That's what dies. This earthly body, because when the Lord redeems me, he quickens my spirit and gives it life.
Yes.
And the only part of me that is unredeemed, why I have such a hard time keeping it in control, is this sinful, dirty little dirt body that has not yet been changed from mortal to immortal.
Yes.
We are so big, and that's where I'm going tonight. He preached too much about the perks and about the trivial things of God.
Yes.
You know, when I went into the military, we had more perks than we have now. We had medical. We had when you first go in, you're one stripe or whatever you are. All your needs are taken care of.
Indeed.
You have a dorm room. You have a bed. You have clothes. You have food. You have medical. You have dental. You even have somebody to tell you when to get up and go, and somebody to tell you when to come back. You got a brand new mom.
Yes,
you do.
Yes.
In your time in the military, you have all these things that go on. But if they stop paying me, I'm leaving.
Yes.
That's the major benefit.
If you stop paying me, it's a living.
Yes.
It's a earning.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, you know, that the other things come on there, the perks.
Yes.
That's the way it is in God. That He blesses you and answers your prayers. Those are the benefits of being in God. He blesses us and daily loadeth us with benefits. He has forgiven all of our iniquities and healed all of our diseases and all these benefits so we can get what He really has for us, and that's eternal life. Many people have been healed by God who don't have eternal life. Jesus did it all the time.
Yes,
he would heal them, but still they had to turn around and see, this is where we lose a lot of people. Because God has blessed you and saved you and you were sick and God didn't let you die. He gave you grace and mercy and you lived. And because when you were really going through a rough time, God brought you through. And even because someone was saying to me recently about something they'd seen what they consider a spiritual manifestation. I'm not saying that it wasn't true. And because God saved them, I'm not saying that either. But my point is, if you really saw a spiritual manifestation from God, why didn't you ask God to save you?
Yes, yeah.
While you were going through that, why did you not ask Him to save you?
Yeah.
Remember Elijah and Elisha?
Yes.
And Elisha said, I want a double portion of what you have, Elijah.
Yes.
And Elijah said, when the Spirit comes to take me back, the power will be here to give you what you want. He says, if you're here when I get caught up, you can get your blessing. He says, it's a hard thing. He says, but if you'll hang on to when the Lord comes to get me, the power for that is there. When the Lord brought you out, so for everybody who has these testimonies, and the Lord has to deliver me. My Lord, He has to deliver me because I'm not there yet. I become so irritated. God has to set me free with people who want to stand up and testify about how much God has done for them, and yet they're not saved.
Yes, yeah.
And you want me to somehow declare you godly because of God's grace and mercy towards you.
Yeah.
When you have not responded by allowing the Lord to save you. Why do you think He gave you grace and mercy? It was to draw you so you'd ask Him, so you'd recognize Him as being the God of all gods and ask Him the one thing that He came to do.
To save us.
To save you.
Yes, yeah.
While God is on His way to Sodom and Gomorrah, because they're so evil, while He's on the way, He drops in on Abraham and blesses him. Because God can be on His way to do one thing, but if you're in the way, He'll bless you. While Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem to go and die for you and I and be resurrected, blind Bartimaeus is saying, hey, stop while you're on your way. And everybody else says, Jesus, you don't have time. And He says, yes, I do. It won't take but a moment. And He goes over there and gives them sight. Why do you think we sing the song? While on others you're calling, don't pass me by. You didn't come for me. Maybe I wasn't even praying. But since you're coming by here,
don't pass me by.
Do something for me.
Yeah.
So when the Lord comes and shows up, and this is my, and like I said, I have a problem with it, that the Lord's going to have to deliver me. Because I'm thrown out by the testimony of people who want to say that somehow while they're still in sin, that they somehow have a relationship with God because God has stretched out to them, but they have not stretched back to Him.
Reciprocated, yes.
And when his hand was reached, when he extended his hand, you didn't take it. But somehow or another, you want us to be convinced that you are have a relationship with God and you're a child of God. You cannot have a relationship with God and a relationship with Satan at the same time.
No, you can't.
No man can serve two masters.
No man can serve two masters.
So then, when people get up and they say to me, and the Spirit was speaking to me, he said, the next time somebody tells you of a miraculous event in their life, he said, the next thing you must say to them, and did that save you? And are you saved? And what has your life been like since that time? Did it change you?
Yes.
Has it caused you to make a decision towards God?
Yes.
Because the Bible is full of people that God has done miraculous things for who never decide to trust him or save him. My God, Moses marched 600,000 plus through the Red Sea. A large portion of them died in the wilderness, still not trusting God. They ate manna every day and still would not trust God. They saw a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of cloud by night and a pillar of cloud by day, and still they would not surrender themselves to God. Jesus in John the 10th chapter, 6th chapter, which is where we're going today. Jesus fed 5,000 men plus, so it's probably 10,000 people, just 5,000 men. They only counted men because in the Jewish and Jewish genealogies and everything else, women and children didn't count. They only counted the men. And in the 6th chapter of John, he says in this, after they had fed 5,000, look down about, verse number 10, 6 and 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there were much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. See, you didn't think I knew what I meant when I said the men were the only ones counted. The men sat down in about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And they were filled, and he said to them, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. In other words, there was enough and moreover. There are lessons in that too, how God, when he supplies you, there's always enough and moreover. And then, about verse number 22, and the following, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein the disciples were entered, and Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were going away. Go on down. 24. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping, or they got in boats, and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? And he said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you had because you did eat of the loaves and were full or filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but that meat which endureth into everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. In other words, he's telling them, and I love it. Oh, do I love it? Every miracle that God does for you on earth, there's only one miracle you're ever going to get that's going to eternity, and that's the one that saves you.
Yes.
The material blessing you get, God bless you with a good job, you don't need it in eternity. God bless you with a great education, you don't need it in eternity. God heals this mortal body, you don't need it in eternity. God turns you around, delivers your man, fixes your situation, saves your children, saves your life, keeps your mother, keeps your dad. Name it, name it, name it. The only miracle that you get that goes into eternity with you is when the Holy Ghost comes and fills you.
That's right.
The only miracle that lasts you throughout eternity, and God does all the rest of it because he's encouraging you and he's drawing you and he has a relationship with you. And God blesses you because he loves you a lot more than you love him.
Yes.
And God sees the need that you have greater than you see your own need.
Yes.
And God has all the patience, and God has all the grace. God keeps you because of God's grace.
Right.
Some days we're of our mind and our soul life, we're not worth anything. We have no redeeming qualities.
Right.
We're not only not friendly to God, we're not friendly to anybody around us. People can't put up with us. Matter of fact, the only person who, and you say, well, the only person who can put up with you is the devil. The devil doesn't put up with anybody. He just has a good time watching you act a fool. Yeah. And God steps in and keeps you anyway. And then you have the audacity to get angry with the one who upholds all things by his power. So when the Holy Ghost says to you, why don't you pray? I ain't praying today. I ain't doing nothing. I ain't reading my Bible. I ain't doing nothing. God didn't come through. Are you breathing?
Yes,
then God came through.
Yes, he did.
Is your heart beating? Yes. Then God came through.
Yes.
Do you still have your right mind? Then God came through. Let me give you one more. Did not a small, still voice say to you in your anxiety, you ain't speaking to nobody, but God is still speaking to you. And did not a small, still voice still come to you in the midst of you being you? And although you're a zillion years old, when you act like that and throw a tantrum, you revert to an age that's no more than 3, because that's what 3-year-olds do. They want to turn and not have anything to do with anybody. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care what title you have in your name. When you throw tantrums, you act like you're only 3. And God still comes in and picks you up, cleans you up, turns you around, still feeds you, still allows the thing that he's given you to continue, doesn't cut you off, allows you to see another day, and whispers to you and says, you'll be all right. It's going to be all right. And then you turn to God because of the way that we are, and you say to him, I don't want to hear that. Then what do you want? To be destroyed? If you won't hear God, who will you hear? So he says to him, he says, the only reason why you're over here, this is us.
Yeah.
I'm going to the meeting because I need a blessing. We have a healing service. Here I go. We have it. You know, your money's short. Show up at this blessing. We're going to bless it. Your money, and your money's going to grow. Here you go. Whatever it costs. You want every ounce of both. When we say we're going to have a revival, and we want everybody to come and be saved. Bring your neighbors. If we say bring your sick aunt so she can be healed, you'll try to roll out here. But if we say bring your sick aunt so she can be saved, if we say bring that husband, that wife, whatever, who needs to be saved, that's a hard thing. If we say everything else, here you come. You want fishes and you want loaves. But you don't want the miracle of salvation, which is why Jesus really came. And when he told them, he says, what you really got to have is not the earthly blessings, but it's me. You have to consume me. I am the bread of life. I am the one who sustains all these other things. Oh, Jesus, my Lord, don't you read your Bible? Don't you get it? He tells the man by the pool of Bethesda. He says to Jesus, he says, I've been sick for 38 years. And he says, and every time the angels come, they trouble the water. And by the time I get down there, the water is no longer troubled. The anointing is gone. I can't get in the pool. And he tells Jesus, he says, you know, if somebody, Jesus says, but don't you want to be healed? He says, well, won't nobody put me in the pool? You act like the only way you can get healed is in the pool. Jesus says, I'm the one who has the power. When I'm around, you don't need the pool. You just need to say to me, Lord, heal me.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You don't have to go through all these changes and gyrations. You just have to make up your mind. So Jesus says to the people, I'm almost done. He says to them, he says, labor not for the meat that perishes. He says, you're putting all your energy. Because he knows them. What did they do? How much energy did they use? You know how we like to have things? I've been in churches. I've seen us do Jericho marches around the inside. I've seen us do Jericho marches around the outside. I've seen people run from this side to the other side. I've seen people run from the front to the back. You want a blessing, God? Run to the back and come back up. Okay, there we go. Yeah, man.
Yes.
And then they feel like when the blessing comes, it's because I ran front to back.
Yeah.
Well, if I got a blessing for running front to back, don't you think you ought to come in here and run front to back every service? Don't you think that you don't have to work one time? Or you might just decide that the Lord bless you.
Yes.
You might just decide that what I have comes from God.
God, yes.
And while I'm eating fishes and loaves, I might just decide, I might just want to ask him, how'd you do that?
Yes.
And what is the purpose of you doing that? You might just want to decide, Lord, why are you still with me?
Yes.
And why do you keep blessing me? And maybe you need to turn to God and say, Lord, I really want your life, and I really want you to have my life. And I really need you to come in. I need the Holy Spirit to really come in. My Lord, if you're casting out devils like the Syrophoenician's daughter from just the crumbs from the master's table, you ought to want to come in and sit down sooner or later and get the full blessing. At some point in time, you ought to want to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, all that I am and all that I have, I give unto you. You're blessing me when all I got one foot in. What will you do if I will get all the way in? Lord, come in, oh God. My goodness, if I have a testimony of how you've been with me, and I've been up and I've been down and I've been around and I've been able, what will it be like when I open myself up to you and say, Lord, come in, and Lord, I forsake all, and all these little tentacles that I have out that are touching the world and all the places that they ought not touch, all of them that you could trim off, and all my substance. I went out last week, trimmed the trees back. Why did I do that? Because all the sucklings and the limbs that grow out that are never going to be a main trunk, they draw away energy from the part of the tree that will make it grow tall. So you trim all those off so that all the energy comes in and grows to the point that strengthens. And when you cut off all these worldly tentacles you got, then God isn't always digging you out. Then God can lift you up. If every time you come to God, it is a prayer of repentance, which you ought to do. And every time you come to God, it is a prayer for deliverance, which you ought to do. At some point in time, if you'll allow the Lord to deliver you and save you and bring you out, you can grow. And then you'll start to really see the Spirit of God and the presence of God. And you won't need that over there, because God will take care of it. And you won't need that over there, because God will do that.
Yes. Meet everybody.
So he told them, he said, stop laboring, because they had been across the lake. They found ships and came over to Capernaum, because he had, during the course of the night, he had left where he had fed them the last time and had crossed the lake about 8 miles, walked on the water to the disciples, came out. When they came the next day, they were going to run up and down the highway, go to the next city, go to the next megafest, go to the next whatever you want to call it. And I'm not knocking anybody's meeting, but they were willing to run all over the place. And Jesus said, I'm not saying there's a problem with you running all over the place. He says, but you're running for the wrong reason. You just want to see more miracles, and you want to see more blessings, and you want to see more of this. And finally, he told him one day, he says, I'm not going to show you anything. He says, there are no more miracles I can show you. If you don't believe I'm the Son of Man, if you don't believe I'm the Son of God with the fishes and the loaves, if you haven't believed it because I'm raising the dead, if it hasn't become apparent to you because I'm healing the sick, if you haven't got it yet because I'm casting out devils and I'm the Son of God, there's nothing left until I'm resurrected.
Yes.
And some of you are not going to believe that.
Yes.
And some of you aren't going to accept that. And he's saying to us, because in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in the last verse, last thing I'm reading, he says in this, if in this life only, 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, after he talks about the resurrection, if in this life only, 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, because he talks about the resurrection, if in this life only, if the only thing you need from Jesus is what you can get in this life, I need my career on track, I need a job, I want you to go before me and hold out a scepter. They hold out a scepter when I ask them to receive you. And Lord, I want you to, I'm going to put this money in the offering, I want you to multiply it and triple it and do all these things. And I'm not knocking any of those. There's nothing wrong with that. You pay your tithes. You want the Lord to rebuke the devourer for your sake. You pay your tithes. You want the Lord to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing they have not room enough to receive. I'm not knocking that, because he said he'll do that. When you're sick, he says, the Lord will come in and heal you. By his stripes we're healed. I'm not knocking that either. But when you're getting those blessings, Don't forget to get the one that they're all about.
Yes.
And that's the one for eternal life. When the Lord blesses you, every time God blesses you, it's not just a thank you, Jesus. What you need to say, come on in.
Come on in.
And draw me closer, oh God. And deliver me. Don't you know when the Lord blesses me? See, I'm just weird. When the Lord blesses me, Minister Smith, when the Lord blesses me, Sister Sturgis, then immediately my mind goes back to see that how unworthy I am. You see, I never owed a blessing. God is never obligated to bless me. My righteousness is not that righteous, but for the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God, I would have no righteousness at all. My own righteousness, he says, is the filthy rags. In other words, it'll never qualify. We are not righteous without God. He is our righteousness. He is the reason why I'm sanctified. And when he blesses me, I can never feel like I deserve it. I earned it. Oh, God. When I go someplace last night, I was in South Florida, and I really loved the Lord on Tuesday night. And the Lord and the man gave his life to the Lord on Tuesday night, and I loved that. I said, my God, finally, someone wants to be saved from what I'm preaching and teaching. People want everything. They want healings. They want deliverance, but people don't want to be saved. And finally, someone wants to be saved. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I felt so unworthy when Deborah says, now we need to take him up an offer. And then I felt like a charlatan, because that's not what I wanted. I just wanted someone to be saved. I didn't need, and I appreciate the offering. I'll take it because you're blessing me and it's a blessing to you. I got it. And I dare not say, oh, no, I don't want to do that either. But I know why when Jesus blessed the people, I understand why he left and went someplace else. He didn't want them around in the pattern on the back.
Right, yes.
He knew all night long he was going to keep hearing about how great he is and everything. He didn't need, he was so grateful to the Father for using him and for doing what the Father sent him to do. That's all he wanted.
Yes.
When we become the ones that we have to have all this great big honorarium, and when we come, we deserve it. And when we go to the next place, we want them talking about how we preach 10 places later and everything else. No, we should be talking 10 places later about how God moved.
Yes, amen.
So Jesus says to them, he says, labor not for the meat that perishes.
Yes.
You came all the way over here in this verse. He says, you came across the lake.
Yeah.
He says, but you need to come and get what I have.
Yes.
I came down from above. I came from the Father. This is what he tells him. He says, I am the bread of life. I'm what you need to be sustained. He says, it isn't the fishes and the loaves that you needed. It was the power that you saw.
Yes.
It was the miracle that you should have wanted.
Yes.
That's what you should have wanted. So he says in 15 and 19, if in this life only, the only thing you get from God are the things that you use in the earth, and God will give you a good life. God has given me and Ellen Smith a good life. God does that. God has just kept us and brought us and multiplied what we have. We're not big, huge wage earners. And sometimes we live like we are, but we're not. We probably make less money per person than anybody else in this room than Elder Reed, because she's on Social Security. And God has just blessed us all the way around, and for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, that's not the blessing we need. That's not the one that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
It's the eternal life.
Yes.
You see, because if one of these days, whatever money we have left between whoever's left on earth, they're going to have that.
Yes.
I have degrees. I don't need them in heaven, no. They work well in the earth. God blessed me to get them.
Yes.
All them times God threw me through tests and did all them things. But I understand. I get it. But the point of it is I don't have to have them, not in heaven.
No.
That's just God helping me to succeed. So people will see the light, see the God that I serve, and they'll be saved too. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men of everybody else on earth. Of all of us who know about the resurrection, those of us who say that we are blessed by God,
mm-hmm.
and And the only thing we want God for is a miracle. And the only time we want to come to church, we want to see a miracle. We're going from place to place looking for a miracle, ranting and raving about miracles. And yet you remain unchanged. The power is there to deliver you. When there's a miracle, the power is there to change you. It says one place in the Bible, when Jesus was there, he said the power was there to heal everyone.
Yes.
The power is there. Elijah told Elijah, when the power comes to take me, the power is there to give you exactly what you want.
Yes.
When the Lord heals you, the next time he answers a prayer, everybody stand. Next time God answers your prayer, ask him to come on in.
Yes.
Don't just say, Lord, I thank you. And then we act like, you know, you did this because of how well I prayed.
No.
Well, you should have prayed and asked God. He says, ask him what you want. But he did it because of God's grace and mercy.
Yes, that's right.
And he did it, you know, and he did it because I've been living right. Well, we should live right.
Yes.
But it's the other way around. We should live right because God is blessing us and God is keeping us.
Yes.
It isn't that God is blessing us because we're living so right.
Yes.
When Christ, who is our life, I want to encourage everybody tonight. You may have a testimony of many miracles, but is Christ your life? Is Christ your life? Have you given yourself to the Lord so that Christ is your life? Not just somebody who works for you. But is Christ your
life?
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, must be your life, then we will appear with him in glory. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Sister Sturgis, let me pray for you for this allergy I think you have from time to time. And I'm going to pray for you, the Lord will deliver you from it, because when you come in here, it's kind of warm tonight, which is probably why you're coughing. But I'm just going to ask the Lord to just give you a touch so that you'll be all right. Is that all right?
Yes,
all right. Just come right here. In the name of Jesus. And just lift your hands. You're fine. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you touch right now in the name of Jesus these sinuses and all these places that it affects. And Lord, even though she's clean, Lord, these allergies are the result of unclean spirits that come and trouble our bodies, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you drive it far from her and deliver her. So that, Lord, in this time of year, in this season, Lord, I pray, Lord, that she would be all right. Lord, move on your behalf, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, so she will know, Lord, of the power of God. In the name of Jesus, and touch now, and in Jesus' name, and deliver in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, set free. Remember Timaeus and all those who have allergies. Lord, set them free. Drive out every evil and unclean spirit. In the name of Jesus. Break every yoke, oh God. Lord, for everyone who hears me tonight, Lord, give us a mind to have a relationship with God. And ask God, say, Lord, I want a stronger relationship. Lord, I want to hear more from your spirit. Lord, I want to be more aware of you. Come in, oh Lord. Lord, come in. Work the work. Lord, remember Ella Paulette Harrison tonight. Remember Ella Russell tonight. Lord, touch her in her body. Lord, touch Ella Deborah Sula. All these different things that are going on. Lord, you know every one of them. Lord, remember Minister Smith tonight.
Yes.
Things that are going on in India tonight. And all those, Lord, who have maladies and things in their body. Lord, touch Minister Smith tonight and make her whole.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, heal tonight. Whatever is going on. Lord, you're the arranger of the ages. And Lord, you uphold all things by your power. Lord, regulate her body.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Regulate her blood pressure in the name of Jesus. Regulate her heartbeat in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are the one who establishes all things. Lord, move among us. Lord, all this sugar diabetes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, deliver and cast it out in Jesus' name. Heal in the name of Jesus. All the high blood pressure, Lord, and all the things, Lord, that do trouble us. Lord, deliver tonight. Lord, by the power of God. And Lord, for every person you deliver, Lord, give them the mind saying, Lord, draw me nearer.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And the people of God say, amen. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, remember Del Angela Jenkins tonight, oh Lord. Touch her tonight. Sister Earth, oh God. Lord, bless Megan tonight, oh God. In Jesus' name. But all those, even the name I don't see, Lord, bless them in the name of Jesus. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. We'll be out Sunday morning. I think it's an education.